Well, joining me now here in the Allstate Showcase studio is State Senator Michael Hastings, Senator from Tinley Park, a Democrat elected in 2012. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Morning, Rick. How are you?
You are much more awake than I am, I understand. You've been up with the little one.
A seven-month-old at home that wakes up at 4 in the morning. You're a little bit chipper in the morning, especially after he's getting his first tooth.
Oh. Yeah, that's...
I'm two Dunkin' Donuts in right now, so we're doing real good.
Good. I'll just turn the show over to you then, okay? We'll just go nonstop, right? But I wanted to have Mike on because I wanted to talk about the issue of, and I know it's a bill that you sponsored, about the legislation to set like a $15 minimum wage for home health care workers. There was another one for people that care for the developmentally disabled. Those bills were vetoed by Governor Rauner. Fall veto session's coming. Are we going to see an override?
You know, there's negotiations going on right now with the different stakeholders, but just the industry alone, I think it's important to make note that there's a 62% turnover rate for home health care workers. In any industry across America, that's an abysmal turnover rate, and there's a reason for it. A $17,000 a year salary for a home health care worker, that's grossly underpaid for the services they provide.
So discussions are underway. We'll see where that leads, basically.
Right now, there's been negotiations between the unions and the governor's office, and the governor has utilized this economic crisis in Illinois to pretty much hamstring not only home service providers, but developmental disability providers as well. And he's doing a masterful job at cutting the, you know, hamstringing these two specific providers. I could just tell you right now that it's extremely sad to see in my community the amount of community providers that are suffering, if not going out of business.
Well, and you know, we've talked on this show in the past, particularly during the period when there wasn't any kind of a budget and as the state has kind of limped along, and you look at these people that do provide these services, they're unique. And as we continue to see kind of the crumbling of the social safety net fabric because of Illinois' budget issues, I don't believe these people come back.
I don't think so either, Rick. This would be, you know, looking at it as a whole, I mean, these people do a yeoman's work. They have to, after someone goes to the washroom, they have to wipe them, they have to bathe them, they have to take them out to get their meds. This is a job that no legislator, if not very few legislators, would even consider doing. I know our governor, if you were to ask him to do some of the services that they had to provide, there's no way that he would ever do it. The sad part about this whole situation is that 50% of home care workers rely on public assistance. They make $17,000 a year, and then they're relying on the state on other services. So my philosophy—
To supplement their lives.
So to give them a raise, especially in this niche field in which they operate— You know, this would get them off public assistance. This would make them have a little bit more pride, knowing that they get paid a noble wage for a noble day's work.
This is like workers that we hear about in the private sector that they have full-time jobs, but they don't earn enough, and then they're on the food stamp program.
They are the definition of the working poor. And for me, if we can give somebody a hand up, especially in this niche market— You know, if I'm a senior citizen and I'm living with somebody who's taking care of me, I want to make sure that they're able to take care of me, not have the worries of the world resting upon their shoulders. The home care providers, you know, just with their salary and public assistance alone, you know, it's hard to focus on your job when you're really worried about other things that are going on in your life.
So you look at the turnover that exists among these workers. You look at the budget issues with the state, and it seems like this, we're talking about it, unfortunately, a shrinking pool of people at a time when these services are more in demand than ever.
Not to mention, Rick, I agree with you. I just tell you right now that with home services and the community care program, we save money by having people inside the home community versus institutionalizing senior citizens and disabled people. Just in general, for a home services program, an attendant saves the state approximately $20,000 per person. Think about that. That's a staggering number. In the community care program, it's $25,000 per person. So we're actually saving the state money by putting people in the home versus institutionalizing.
Well, and that's part of why, you know, there's this dichotomy, because everybody knows that it's you know, it's laudable and cost effective to have people, you know, stay in their homes rather than having to deal with hospitals and institutions, those kinds of things. That's kind of a stated goal of this state.
That's for me when, you know, when I heard the governor in his inauguration speech say it's we're going to be caring and compassionate about different things. My moral obligation as a state senator is to take care of the most vulnerable. When I heard that, caring and compassionate, it rung a bell, and I'm like, this is great. You know, our social services aren't going to be slashed. People aren't going to be sent down in the street. Mental health patients aren't going to be kicked out of the service providers. And the first thing I see in the first 2 years of the administration is just that. Let's cut the legs out from underneath them, and then let's see how they operate and bleed them out to the point where I don't have to deal with them anymore. And that's what the governor's doing.
Maybe you can give us, you know, you're out every day in your district, just what you're seeing as far as overall that the social safety net going, what's going on there?
I would say first, it takes a special person to even go into that industry. And a lot of people are discouraged now from even going into that industry, coming out of college or getting their master's degree. They don't even want to do it anymore because, well, what's the state? State's not going to pay me. I'm not going to make a decent wage. It's the very special people that take those jobs, and I give them all the credit in the world. But a lot of my service providers are suffering, and if you're not under a court order or a consent decree, you're living paycheck to paycheck. And for the state and the comptroller who gives out, you know, the monies very sporadically, although she says it's very transparent, it's not. She does prioritize based on what she thinks the priority should be. I have a service provider in my area just got paid for the first time in 7 months. 7 months, Rich. And it's unbelievable to watch, you know, how the director of that agency maneuvers to find monies, you know, fundraising, lines of credit. Her lines of credit are extended. And she provides a first-class service to suburban residents who need these services. And it's sad.
And you can only get so far with that line of credit. I mean,
a lot of banks aren't even extending lines of credit anymore. They're saying enough's enough.
We're speaking with State Senator Michael Hastings, Tinley Park Democrat. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio on Michigan Avenue and Tribune Tower, joined by State Senator Michael Hastings, Democrat from Tinley Park. We were talking about the veto of legislation to give home health care workers and those who care for the developmentally disabled at least a minimum wage of $15 an hour. And one of the things, Senator, you were talking about is, you know, kids coming out of school, they look at what's going on in Illinois, they don't even want to go into this field, and the unique need for those kinds of people to actually, you know, provide those services. I was going to ask you, you know, we've seen these reports now that we've basically started the college school year about the number of high school students we export to other states versus mm-hmm. those that come into Illinois for higher education. And, you know, it just seems to me that here's another kind of crisis that's brewing. I don't want to get into what's going on at Chicago State University, which is its own set of issues. But, I mean, the state of higher education here seems to be very dire.
So, again, another victim of the budget crisis in Illinois, which is manufactured by political ideas on both parties. But I would say that, you know, one gentleman holds the budget hostage, and this is just another victim of it. And we're starting to see the results of that. So out of 6 out of the 9 universities in our state, we've seen a reduction in freshman enrollment from 1% to 25%. And when I have conversations with parents in my district, they always ask, what do you think about sending my child to Eastern Illinois? I mean, it's a great institution.
It's a great school.
They got great professors, and it's a great place. But parents are reluctant because, well, what happens if Eastern closes in 2 years? What's going to happen to my child? And it's very, very real for people who are sending their kids to schools. And the safe bet for some of these parents is, well, I'm just going to send my kid to Iowa. I'm going to send my kid to Wisconsin. And then we as a state, we're losing out on that revenue.
And we're also kind of, it's a brain drain kind of situation. And, you know, we're seeing that even on the faculty level, the number of people retiring or just, you know, they've had enough because there's the uncertainty in their lives as well. And in a lot of these communities, you know, you look at Eastern in Charleston, it's an economic driver.
As a guy who has an MBA from the University of Illinois, I'll just tell you, I have a lot of different conversations with professors. There's a distinct difference between the way the state of Massachusetts incentivizes their professors to come to their universities, and there's a way that Illinois doesn't do it. When we were talking about the pension issue, my first year when I took office, one of the bills I presented was from the state university retirement system itself. All the university professors got together, and it was restructuring that individual system to incentivize professors to come to Illinois. And right now, they're not incentivized to come to Illinois. There's some great academic institutions here, which draw them just by their natural nature, but we could do a better job at that. It's just this budget crisis is hamstringing us, and I'm just asking for our governor to come around. He's going to wait until November to see how it plays out, but that's just not the right way to do business. That's not the right way to govern.
We've got a call from Ron. Ron, welcome, as always, to the Sunday Spin.
Good morning, Rick, and congratulations to you and your great team for three-year anniversary.
It wouldn't be right to celebrate 3 years unless you called. You know that?
Thank you. Senator, there's two things. First of all, the workers, are they represented by the union as far as having any collective bargaining advantage? And also, a bigger question, certainly we want people to make a little more wage, but, Senator, where is the revenue going to come to? You know, this Illinois politics was maddening 40 years ago. I used to be on the bus of the old three-car Monty trick. I mean, eventually we're going to have to generate some revenue. I know they're waiting possibly after the November election, but no matter how that turns out, you have to come up with the money. The state is in a deficit. So maybe you can address those two things. But thanks. Have a good day, Rick.
Thank you, Ron.
Ron, thanks for calling in. I wanted to make a quick note. There's 88% of the workforce is women, and it's a disproportionate people of color. There's 51% that aren't white or Caucasian. They don't have health insurance under the governor's plan. They don't have a fixed training plan under the governor's plan. And also making $17,000 a year is unacceptable to me. They do have a union. They are negotiating with the governor's office. But, you know, sometimes when the governor's office doesn't want to negotiate, the legislative body has to come in, and that's where checks and balances of our government is, and that's my role as a legislator. And I think it's necessary that if he's not willing to negotiate, then we'll legislate it. And that's the way that, you know, if negotiations break down, that's the way I know how to fix something. Now, in terms of revenues, you know, Illinois has a revenue problem, and we've had a revenue problem since the income tax and corporate income tax have rolled back. And I know with the overall collective budget discussion, there's going to have to be a revenue discussion, because if you're to cut all these services, you know, Illinois will be the last place where people want to live. And to me, that's unacceptable. People should want to come to this great state. People should want to work here. And people, moreover, should have to or be able to earn a decent wage.
In dealing with revenue, I get the sense that no one wants to do a lame duck legislative solution here, that it's going to be a straight up whatever happens, but after the first of the year. Is that your sense of anything?
You know,
we get that far?
You know, I always look at it this way. The next milestone, or in the military, we would say the next 50-meter target is the November election. And after that, we'll determine a lot of different things in terms of the way the course of Illinois will go. So I'm shooting at the 50-meter target right now. And if I think if we can get a certain amount of wins, I think things will be a lot better for Illinois.
Real briefly, I wanted to ask you about legislation we've talked about previously, which dealt with the way local governments could go after uncollected taxes that are owed. Can you refresh us on that issue and where we're at on that thing?
So the Department of Revenue is the agency that collects the taxes in the state of Illinois. And certain towns, when you shop at a Walmart, say in Tinley Park, sometimes the sales tax that you get in Tinley Park may go to Schaumburg by error of the Department of Revenue. So my point of view and what we're going to go ahead and do in the next legislative session is I want to be able to audit the Department of Revenue. If my tax money in Tinley Park is going to Schaumburg, I should be entitled to get my tax money back. And at towns across Illinois have tried to do this. They've been successful in certain ways in doing it. It's a way that towns can get the money that they're rightfully owed. Now, the Department of Revenue makes mistakes, Rick. Let me just tell you this. They gave out $168 million in personal property replacement tax to wrong towns and forms of government across Illinois. So if you don't think that the Department of Revenue makes mistakes and doesn't need to be called on it and have some check on them, I think you'd be misguided. I think something's, you'd be disillusioned. There's so much money that's, mishandled or misdirected. I think it's important that we put a check and balance on them.
But that's all kind of electronically done, isn't? Is it systems? What's the problem at Revenue?
There's systems. There's personnel errors that take place through these audits, which doesn't happen. These audits would determine, okay, well, here's where the money is. Here's where the money going. How do we get the money to where it's supposed to go? Whether that's through coding errors. Our IT system in Illinois is antiquated. If you ask any state agency, they will tell you the same thing.
There's a shock.
One of my initiatives over the next 4 years is not only to modernize, our IT across the board, but also to mobilize services and modernize some of our laws as well.
We've been speaking with Michael Hastings, Senator from Tinley Park, Democratic Senator from Tinley Park. Senator, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and maybe you'll get a chance to get a little nap in this
Rick,
afternoon.
You wake up early, so if you want to come over at 4 in the morning and feed the baby, you're more than welcome to come over, my friend.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that offer. I really appreciate it.
I see you tomorrow.
Cool. You're on. You're listening to the Sunday Spin on WGN.